And I ain't hit no drop in a minute. No, I'm about my business.
Rapper's Guide Podcast, episode 64. This is your host, Diggy Metro.
Bales Pagliacci.
And today we wanted to talk about perspective when it comes to your audience. I feel like a lot of the time we are sitting there and we're trying to think about what people find good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're like, how am I going to have this career in R&B when everyone on Twitter likes Future?
Mm-hmm.
I need to make trap records because that's the only thing that works with that audience. And that's the biggest audience. And it's like, sometimes maybe you're just looking at your following and you're not understanding that there's a completely different following out there. You know, like every artist is going to have their grouping of people. And based on your friend group, based on the people in your immediate surroundings, you might be following a bunch of people who listen to trap music. But you yourself likes making boom bap. Or you yourself likes making soul music. So you can't look at your Twitter following or like your Instagram following as the end all be all of what type of music you should make. It's all about perspective. It's all about looking at, you know, the wider audiences and seeing, okay, maybe my friend group likes Future, but that's not where I'm comfortable musically.
And that's like one of the biggest things that I had to overcome mentally. As far as just being an independent artist and growing up in an environment where it's just mostly like trap, drill music, which becomes more popular. And, you know, a lot of you artists out here probably dealing with the same thing. And if you're not making that specific type of music, you sometimes feel like, oh, man, like I'm completely out the way. Nobody's going to pay attention to me. Nobody's going to give me any attention. And honestly, you may be onto something just because, once again, if your whole entire social media is wrapped around people that lived in your environment and they're all listening to the same type of music, it's always going to feel that way. And then sometimes you have to take that step outside the box. Like, you know, we had the episode about being a hometown hero and it kind of like fits in. It's the same because it's like, I got to get this around here and around my area. The people that listen to me have to be from this area. But it's just like 9 times out of 10, it's not going to happen that way, unfortunately, unless you're going that specific path. But we always say never to trace those trends, especially if that's not the type of music you make in the first place.
And I would say like, the music that you feel comfortable making is what you should make.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if people find the shit cool. It doesn't matter if people fuck with it locally. Whatever you like making, that could be rapping over techno beats. Whatever you like making, you should make, because we're looking for our audience, but it doesn't always come from around us. And I think that we get trapped in that. Like, for instance, if I like making boom bap and all my friends like trap music, my friends aren't my fans. We literally have a poster here that says friends aren't fans.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is that like a lot of the times we conflate friends with fans, because when we have a show, they're the ones buying tickets. So like we're trying to like succumb to our friends and make music that works with our friend group. But your friends aren't going to buy your album. Your friends aren't going to pay for your fucking Patreon. Your friends aren't going to pay for, you know what I'm saying? Like they're not going to buy merch. And if they do, they're doing it to support a friend. Your friend is never going to accept that they're your fan. You know what I'm saying? Like, no mm-hmm. friend of mine is going to be like, I'm a Diggy Metro fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, we can't expect, and that's why, like, we've talked about it on here. Like, that whole post that goes around where it's like, take $0 and 0 cents to support your friend. That's very true.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's a different type of support system. That's your close friend support group. That's not your fan base.
And that's another struggle that a lot of you guys are going to have to overcome, especially when you're coming up, just realizing that specific portion of your friends aren't your fans. And once again, it will seem like they're directly trying to play you out, or they're trying to say that you're not good because they're not listening to you or promoting you the way you would want them to or the way you would like them to. But once again, if you have your whole mindset and everybody else's mindset is around, this is a specific music that we listen to, you're always going to feel that way. That doesn't mean that your friends don't care about you. It doesn't mean that your friends don't want to support you. It's just, once again, sometimes if somebody doesn't like to do something or listen to something, you can't force them to, because at that point, it's going to feel even faker. You're not going to feel good about that interaction. We talked about having fake streams, having fake support. Once again, that also feels like one of those things where it's just like, I don't want that in any part of my vicinity. I can understand, and I could be an adult enough to realize not everything is going to be for everybody. If some of my friends don't buy some of my merch, it's just like, okay, perfectly fine. If they buy somebody else's, that may go up somebody else's avenue more so than mine. And maybe I'm not creating something for them, but I'm also not looking to do that as well.
you also have to think about it like this. Okay. Hip hop is very braggadocious, right? We're talking about the cars that we're driving. We're talking about the women that we're sleeping with, all this shit, right? If I'm your friend, I know you're not driving that car. I know you're not sleeping with those women, right? So my perspective of you is different than a stranger who only knows you from your music.
Mm-hmm.
That stranger feels like, yo, this dude is the coolest dude on earth. Your friend was there when you tripped over the stairs and fell down them shits. Your friend was there when you stepped in dog shit. Your friend was there for all these different circumstances that he no longer views you or she no longer views you as the coolest person on earth.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to accept that. Like, the music that we're making, a lot of the time we're bragging about how cool we are, how fly we are. Your friend has been there through everything. So for them to support the music and view you like a fan would view you is different. And that's why, like, I know we're going to get pushback on the your friend's not your fan. Because people are going to be like, nah, if you're in my friend group, I expect you to support me, this and that. Like, I get that, right? But at the same time, bro, like, you can't expect a fan and a friend to view you exactly the same. It's just not going to ever happen. Like, there's just a difference in, like, how someone views you.
Mm-hmm.
I've been around Bales. I listen to Bales' music, but I know Bales personally. He could say something on a record, and I'll know that it's not 100% true.
Mm-hmm.
He'll know that I say some shit that's not 100% true. We view each other differently. And before we actually knew each other, before we actually got cool, if we were to listen to our music, our perspective would have been completely different.
Yep,
you feel what I'm saying? Like, the second that we meet each other and start having conversations, you're like, ah, I fuck with him. The music had me thinking you were this type of way.
Mm-hmm.
And you're actually a really down-to-earth this person. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that we need to stop putting so much pressure on the people around us to be our fans.
Because at the end of the day, like, I still struggle with this shit sometimes, too. It's just, like, the way your brain kind of set up sometimes, like, nah, I feel like they should be supporting me. And you got to, once again, stop yourself, like, but yeah, I'm not making their type of music. And honestly, sometimes it'll be, like, a part where, let's just say we're driving the car and, like, they have it on shuffle and, like, my music pops up. And sometimes your friend may skip it or something like that. At first, it feels like, yo, you're trying to play me. But then you start realizing, like, yo, we're in the car right now. This isn't actually the song I want to listen to. Even if it is my song, it doesn't specifically fit the vibe. And there's a lot of times in your artistry where you'll feel as if it's a personal attack towards you, or you'll feel as if it's something that somebody is trying to hold against you. But a lot of times it just be, sometimes it's not in the right vibe, not at the right time. Or even sometimes, you know, even for me, like, sometimes my song will pop up. I sometimes don't listen to a full song of mine because it's just like, I don't want to listen to this right now. And being able to take that human factor of things as understanding where your environment is and what's around you, it helps alleviate a lot of that pressure and a lot of that anxiety. And a lot of that expectation from others, because once again, you can't always expect people to kind of fall in line with what you're doing and how you want to perceive things. And if that's all you're looking at and also all you surround yourself with, you're always going to have an issue because you're going up against the grain, essentially.
Okay, and check this out. You're not a fan of tennis, right?
No.
Your friend is a tennis player and he's trying to go professional, right? Mm-hmm. He's only playing amateur right now. Are you going to go to every one of your friend's amateur tennis matches?
Nah.
Probably not, right? No. Like, you're just not a fan of the sport. It doesn't matter if your friend is playing it. It doesn't matter if that's his passion. It doesn't matter if you're trying to be supportive. You might catch one every once in a while, but to be expected to be at every single tennis match would be wild, right?
Mm-hmm.
We do the same shit, bro.
Yeah, we expect our friends to come.
We have a passionate sport that we're doing, mm-hmm. right? And, like, we're expecting them to come to every single show. And when they don't show up, we're like, the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
But if it was something else, we wouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? We ourselves wouldn't go to every single tennis match. Because I'm not your dad, I'm not your mom, and I'm not your girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
So I'm not going to be at every single one. And quite often, the people that are at every single one are like your close family or your girl. They'll be at every single show because that's what's expected. That's the one person that's really expected, or the couple of people that are really expected to support you fully.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, to expect your friends who have a life, who have shit going on, who might have made plans with their homie from work, and now they got to be like, oh, but I have to go to his show to support him.
Yeah.
Because otherwise he's going to be upset at me. That's ridiculous, bro. And I you know, I know that it's odd to say and it might hurt some feelings, but, like, we need to stop expecting so much of our friends.
Mm-hmm.
We do.
And on the other side of the token, when shit starts actually moving in progress and shit starts moving, you know, also being knowledgeable, like, sometimes people are going to switch fully around, like, oh, wait, now this seems like the party time. This seems like he's on. This seems like you're going somewhere. You're about to do some stuff. Let me start showing up to a little bit more events. Let me just start showing more support. It's just the natural flow of how the shit goes.
Okay, let me take it back to tennis, right?
Yeah.
Your friend goes from amateur to professional, and now he's in the fucking, he's at Wimbledon and shit.
You going to them games.
You're probably going.
You're going to them games now, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're probably going because now he's professional. You do know him. He got there. You know, it's just how we process. We want to see people perform their art when they're at their highest level. We don't want to see the introductory phases.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a human reaction to things. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, the person who went to every amateur match is going to be remembered the most.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you came to every one of my amateur matches and now I'm professional and you've been here the whole time, I'm going to have a certain appreciation for you.
Of course.
So we could say that, right? But like, you cannot expect someone to be at every single show. And I know that this is a tangent that like kind of ties in with the main topic,
mm-hmm.
but like that's one thing that we definitely have to consider when we're making our art. Like you're not professional until you are, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So like in those like building phases, because a lot of us start when we're teens and we don't have shit laid out. We don't know how to mix a song. We don't know how to do shit professionally. So like, again, you're talking about people who turn on Spotify and listen to professionally mixed and mastered music, right? And you're putting out something that sounds bad in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And we're expecting our friends to be like, nah, dude, this is Jay-Z level.
It's never going to happen.
You feel me? And there's nothing wrong with that, man. They're just humans. They're listening to the same shit that you're listening to. You just have like goggles on because it's yours.
And that goes back to like just understanding that your circle of influence, of also understanding like what you're allowing into you know, your mental presence. Like if you are like just say you are a friend of Future and like all your other friends are listening to Future, like you had said earlier, you're going to continue to see Future posts and think, I need to make music at like this to be able to get to where I need to go. And you completely negate all the fact that instead of doing that, you need to find those people that within your community or within your area that do enjoy what you listen to. But it's just going to take a little bit more deep dive and it's going to take a little bit more research, which that becomes the hardest part, because just like, why do I want to go try to find all these people like a needle in the haystack when a fucking haystack is standing right here in front of my face and this is what they want to like listen to?
Because the haystack is way smaller. Like, I'm sure you're not following the masses. You're probably following a couple hundred people.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be your target market. It can't. You know what I'm saying? Like, the only way that you should be making Future type music is if that's exactly what you wanted to make.
Exactly.
And if you wanted to make something different and you're not making that because your friends don't fuck with it, then make what you want to make. Because as you start making what you want to make and you get better and you're more comfortable with it, those people that like that music are going to catch on to you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to come. How do they come if you didn't go and find them, right? How do they come to your page? That's where you have to put in the work. That's where you got to market.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you got to look at, okay, I make Mac Miller style music. Where is Mac Miller's audience? How could I find the data that shows me where his audience is located? That might be in Europe. That might be in South America. How do I find that data? And there's Google Trends. There's so many different ways to find that data. And that's your job as an artist, especially if you want to stay independent. That's your job as an artist to find those people. There's also PR firms that do the job for you, but they cost a lot. You know, so like you either want to pay someone to do the work for you or you want to do it yourself, but you still have to do that work. There's got to be some type of work put in to figure out where is that audience? Okay, cool. It's in South America. I'm going to market all my music to South America because they fuck with my style of music. Mm-hmm. I'm not reliant on my friends to push my music. I'm reliant on data and marketing.
And that's literally how I maneuver every single time. Like a lot of times as time has gone on within my own artistry, you know, outside countries have always been the biggest ones, the influence. But as time went on, I started seeing that, you know, the United States probably went from like number 15, probably up to like number 6. And it's just like that. I didn't like, you know, specifically target for United States. It just started pushing, as far as the Spotify algorithm, just started pushing it towards United States. And then also within me just using certain hashtags or pinpointing where I want to advertise like an Instagram post to, it becomes more so like, okay, I've seen this guy before. I like what he's doing. He's also different in a sense. And this more aligns to what I want to see. Because if you think about it, just as much as other people are, you know, looking, or I'm sorry, just as much as you see the same thing, like all the drill and trap music, there's a lot of other people that's within this world, in this country, that's also looking at like, I don't like looking at this shit. I don't want to hear this shit. Let me start aligning, or let me start trying to find content that is meant for me. And that's what these social media platforms are for. And that's what they're going to do with the algorithms and just how you interact with it. So if you're always constantly looking up that drill music, you're going to always run into artists that are doing drill, that are doing that style of music. So then when you start looking for other artists that's in that contemporary range, like for me, I like to do contemporary R&B type stuff. I start seeing more of those artists on my feed and less of the drill stuff. So it's like, all right, this is more where I want to be. And then that opens up the door for collaborations. That opens up the door for you being able to mess with different styles that you may find from somebody else or hear from somebody else, because once again, it's more up your alley and up your range. Like, it's not going to benefit me to go do a video in the hood with like 50 dudes behind me. That's not going to benefit what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? But I could honestly learn some stuff from like maybe the Pink Sweats dude. I could honestly learn some stuff from like Masego. I could learn the stuff from those guys. And that's where you would want to, well, I would want to push myself towards, which I have been doing.
And When you said before, like, if you're following a bunch of people that make the style of music that you actually like, that you actually want to make, mm-hmm. right? You'll probably never see the drill people.
I mean, you won't. Like, you really won't.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the people I follow don't push the drill shit. So I'm not seeing the drill shit on my timeline. So when all these new acts come out, I don't really know who they are.
Me either.
Because I'm not listening to that style of music. And there's too many genres on this earth to keep up with every single one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what gets pushed to my algorithm is music that I fuck with. And that's how the algorithm works.
And it's the even crazier part, because like my friends, since they listen to kind of like the same type of music, they'll know about certain like artists that drill out. Like, you ever heard this before? Like, nah, I never heard this before. So what you mean never heard? It's like, oh yeah, this never came across my thing at all.
And like, there's 60,000 tracks coming out a day. Yeah. So it's very likely that I missed one.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? And there's nothing wrong with the fact that I miss one, but I only find the ones that I fuck with. The shit that I like comes across my timeline. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
But if you're making music that is for your friends and it's not naturally the music that you want to make, all that's going to come across your timeline is the style of music that you don't really want to make.
And we all seen it before. Like, you do try to make music for your friends. Well, you know, I've experienced it. I'm pretty sure you've experienced as well. Mm-hmm. Trying to make those records just to, you know, get to your friends and just kind of fit that vibe. And honestly, you know, coming up now and I'm thinking about it, a lot of my times, my friends would just say to me all the time, like, yo, just leave like the kind of gangster rap type of stuff away and just kind of focus on your melodies, focus on using your voice as far as like singing purposes, right? In my mind, I was just like, nah, but y'all not going to listen to it. But, you know, now I'm thinking about it, it's even crazier that they were also introspective of knowing that this is something that they don't listen to, but they understand what was better for me to do at that specific time. So it pushes me to want to still make music for them. But at the same time, they're telling me, no, make music that you're supposed to make. And even though they're not a fan, per se, it still shows a level of understanding the artist or understanding what needed to be done for me or what I needed to go towards instead of just trying to focus on doing what everybody else is listening to. And it helped.
Okay, imagine you're a big man playing basketball, right? And your favorite player is Steph Curry. But you got a big-ass body. You should be on the block, mm-hmm. right? And you keep on shooting threes, and you're not a good shooter. You keep on shooting threes because that's who you look up to. That's what you see everyone doing. You see all these guys are three-point scorers now. You know that the game of basketball has shifted to where you have to shoot threes, but your game's on the block. Sometimes it takes a coach from outside to be like, just get on the block.
Yeah, get off that three-point line, bro.
Just get on the block. We'll dish you the ball, and then just put it in. That's it. Like, we don't always see it because we're, you know, every human... Our mental is kind of like molded by what we're interested in, what's around us, what we see. You know what I'm saying? But like, it's very often that an outside perspective can like kind of, you know, direct you in the right direction, because they're like, bro, this is what you should be making.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you should be doing. And not everyone knows, because not everyone's a music savant or not everyone is musically, you know, gifted.
It gotta come
to
you.
Like, not everyone's going to know, but like, there are people, for instance, when an artist would come to the studio and I would hear them make five different types of records, but one of them was really, really it, I would be like, yo, why don't you make more stuff like this?
And I was one of them. And you was one of those other, those one of those people too that would tell me like, yo, just kind of focus on the melodies or focus on, you know, using your voice and singing and not having to be rappy, so rappy. And it's just like, I don't even look to be so rappy no more. I'm more so looking for how can I make this melody sound like it's a rap song, still kind of keep it R&B and just keep it being me. And once I found that pocket, it's like, that's the pocket that I look for. That's the pocket that I go to now. And that's the one that's been beneficial for me ever since. And then also taking my brain away from all the other shit and trying to be part of that specific crowd. Like, even for me, like, being from Jersey City, you know, probably a lot of you listeners probably heard of Al Biao, which is another artist from Jersey City. I had this issue where I would just try to say to myself, damn, he got these people that support him, or like the guys from his neighborhood supporting him. Damn, like, look at the people that's listening to him in the city. And it's just like, that's where my environment breathes. That's what we kind of grew up on. So of course, that's what everybody's going to align with. When it comes to somebody like me, it takes time because you have to be able to understand who I am, where I come from, number one, who I am, number two, and then also why what I do is just as great or going towards the trajectory of what he's doing, even though it doesn't revolve any like hood stories or anything like that.
Do you think Al Biao is more likely to bump your shit if you're faking a persona or if you're being yourself?
Being myself.
Right. Like, what we don't get is that we want these like idols to, you know, notice us, mm-hmm. right? But like, you're more likely to get an idol to notice you if you're making something that's comfortable to you and is different and it's your style than if you're making shit for the masses that, well, what you think is for the masses and it's not you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're out there talking about street shit and everyone in your local environment knows that you're not a street guy, you were always into books, you were always, then no one's going to respect that style of music coming from you, no matter how good it sounds.
Does it? Yeah, it wouldn't make any sense.
It doesn't matter if it's good. You know what I'm saying? That's what I think we get fucked up, because it is music. So if it sounds good, if it's sonically pleasing, if everything, you think like, oh, they're going to fuck with this. That's where like an outside fan base will come in and fuck with it. But the people around you are not going to fuck with it because they know that that's not your lifestyle.
You know what I just thought about too? Like, a perfect example of this, like, you know how, I don't know who the hell this girl is, but it's like a period or something. Like, the one of these rappers, she's like going viral on TikTok. Mm-hmm. It's not Ice Spice. It's somebody else. I don't know her name or anything like that, but I see a lot of people, or like a lot of female artists now, like, or they're saying like, you know, this isn't real rap. If you want to listen to real rap, this is, you need to listen to me. And, you know, they start going on in there, you know, start rapping or whatever the case may be, right? And when I sat there and thought about it right now, we're speaking about this episode, it would seem as if like trash female rappers are the ones that's blowing up. But that's just what you're seeing, because that's what the algorithm is pushing. You kind of forget about all the other successful female artists that are probably out there that are actually doing what they need to do and like rapping, or whatever the case may be, like Tierra Whack. I don't think no name raps anymore, but you know, the lyrical ones. And then you just sit there and say to yourself, now that they don't exist because these people are just blowing up right now because the algorithm is pushing it to you. But once again, that's just what you're viewing right then and there, and just ignoring everything else that's in the peripherals. You're just seeing what's right in front of your face.
And again, like, when you're looking at hip hop, because everything gets grouped into the same genre, there's so many different styles of music that all get put into one, where like other genres don't do that. Like, rock has so many different subgenres that it's not like if you like alternative, you're going to also get grouped in with heavy metal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's one of the problems with hip hop, is like, we take a rapper like No Name, we put it with a rapper like Ice Spice. Why? Because they're both females. Their music sounds nothing alike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't make the same style of music at all. It's barely even hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, No Name makes more R&B. Ice Spice makes drill. But like, that's a UK style. That's more grime than it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a different style of music. And like, we group all them together because we're rappers. And, oh, woman, rap. Same thing. Mm-hmm. No, I don't expect Ice Spice to be a Rhapsody.
Nope.
Because they're different style of artists. Just like I don't expect Lil TJ to sound like Talib Kweli. You feel what I'm saying? Like, literally, that's the best comparison. Yeah, no, because Lil TJ is like an Ice Spice, where Talib Kweli is like a Rhapsody.
Yeah, exactly.
That's, I don't expect them to make the same style of music. And I don't think anyone that listens to Lil TJ is going to go and bump a Talib Kweli record.
Yeah, it's a completely different side of the spectrum. You just like
different music.
But if you only thing you're paying attention to is Lil TJ and you are more of a Talib Kweli rapper, you're going to just say, ah, fuck that. I don't see anything about Talib. But, you know, they just came out with an album. What the fuck is it?
Most Def and Talib.
Exactly. Blackstar. They just came out with an album. They're selling the album on a website where they're basically just getting all the podcast money. Yeah. It's not on a streaming platform. Yep. So it's like, they're getting to the bag. They're the ones that are trying to make an innovative way so they're not stuck on streaming platforms. What you're seeing is just the basic generic what's going on right now. But then you completely negate all the things that's going on behind the scenes. And you won't know these things unless you search for them. Like, I wouldn't know this shit unless I was specifically watching the Mos Def and Talib Kweli interview.
And there's also different streaming platforms for everything. Like, I would say Apple Music is a younger streaming platform.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Apple Music is more for the youth, right?
Yeah, more so than
Spotify. I think, is more top 40 radio record, right? If you're on Bandcamp, that's more underground hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on where you distribute your music, everything is different. You know, I would think Audio Mac is also like a younger platform because it's a newer SoundCloud-ish platform.
And I think about, you know, also like Afrobeats and stuff like that. Like those because
they have artists, like a big international audience. Mm-hmm. But I think that because it's a free platform to distribute your music, I think it's easier for a kid to use that.
Yeah, like, definitely.
I don't think all kids are getting on distro. And because SoundCloud has kind of like died out, I think there are still kids that are making music and putting it out on SoundCloud, but majority of those people went over to an Audio Mac.
And then once again, like if you're feeling like, oh, only people are on Spotify, I'm pretty sure there's people still putting up numbers over SoundCloud, still somehow somebody getting money on SoundCloud, but everything else is saying Spotify, Spotify, Spotify. So if SoundCloud been working for you, I mean, I ain't saying not to put your music on Spotify, but if SoundCloud is working for you, then focus on that. If you're getting some money from it, kind of focus on that. That's once again, if everybody's saying do this, do this, do this, do this, this we are minded, that's what everybody else is seeing, that's what you're focusing on. But once again, you're negating everything else that's on the back end or the things that's on the side of you or thing that's right there in front of your face, but you can't look past that mirror because it's like looking back at
you. It's all tunnel vision. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You put your focus on one thing and you can't get off it because you're just looking at that one thing. This whole conversation is brought up because my guy Rabbits was like, yo, like, I feel like everyone's looking for that trap and drill shit, and you're telling me I should have more substance in my writing, but, like, it looks like everyone wants the trap and drill shit. And I'm like, could it possibly be that your whole timeline is just fans of trap and drill? Could it be possible that if you started following hipsters, they wouldn't be posting that shit? And he was like, oh, I never thought about that. It's, you know, we have to think outside the box.
Simple
because
psychology sometimes.
It's very easy with our music to get lost and to think that we have to make this type of record or that type of record based on the fact that, oh, everyone likes it. Who's everyone? Because if you're asking me, music has so many different audiences that it can't be everyone.
And you're probably looking at a very small sample size because you're also constrained by your own thought process and your own perspective of what is out there and what's able to be done, especially on your level when you're coming up. And once again, there's a lot of mental struggles and a lot of psychological things that happen, you know, in our brains that we kind of just tend to ignore and don't want to like really flesh out. And like, this is one of those things, like, what are you ingesting as an artist on a daily basis on your social medias? And how is that affecting you and your portrayal of what you should be doing and what kind of music you should be making? You shouldn't allow those things to influence you unless what you're looking at is part of the genre or the subtype of music that you are looking to make. Because at that point, that influence is going to be greater than looking at something that you're not interested in and having that basically bring you down or further from your goal.
And I'm going to hit you with a gem. The reason why we look to make what our immediate surroundings are listening to is because we have this idea that if you make a hit record, you're going to blow up. That's not true.
Mm-mm.
That's not how it works. Even a hit record that you hear that you think blew up overnight had a ton of marketing behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all false. You're trying to land a hit, but that's not how hits are constructed. Hits are made and then marketed to the point of being hits. You know what I'm saying? So like, the only reason why we're doing what's immediately around us is because we think that if we make something that our town likes, it'll blow up.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to do this free method of gaining a fan base, and it doesn't work like that. It's actually false.
You just blend in and you just basically fall on a wayside and not
fuck blending in. You're not putting any marketing behind it. So it doesn't matter if you blend in or not. It's not going to go anywhere. Like, that's just not how it works. I don't care if you have to market on TikTok, if you're marketing on Instagram, but you have to market. So mm-hmm. no matter what genre of music you make, say you made a pop punk song and you made a drill record, the one that you market more is the one that's going to bring in more audience. You want to know why? Because it's all about marketing. It has nothing to do with the actual song. So that's why, like, that whole vision, like, the one thing I want people that watch this podcast to drop is thinking that you're going to land a hit one day. That's not what it's about, man. It's all about marketing. So it doesn't matter if you think you made a hit record. It might be a hit, but you still have to market it to that point.
It ain't a hit until it's marketed, probably.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yo, every hit song that you've seen ever was marketed.
Mm-hmm.
It was marketed to the point of being a hit. It might have gained little local notoriety, which is the maximum that you're going to get without marketing. And but once you got that local notoriety, now is the time to push that record. That's why it takes like 3 years for a Fetty Wap Trap Queen to blow up. You want to know why? Because it was popping in Patterson for that first year. And then it started reaching the local areas. But then they started pushing it. DJ started playing it. They're paying people to market it.
He kept
putting
money behind it. He kept pushing that shit for that 3 years.
Why does it take 3 years for like an undeniable hit record to explode like that? Because he didn't know in that first year what marketing was. And then once he started marketing the record, that's when it starts to explode. And it had nothing to do with the record. The record sounded good no matter what. It sounded good the first day it was made. But he understood after those first 2 years that, oh, this is how it works, marketing. And that's why a record like that reaches the top of the top, because marketing. And he understood marketing.
And at the end of the day, too, is like, if you think about it, if he's working that record for 3 years and he's noticing what it's doing in the clubs, or he noticed what it's doing with DJs, it's like, okay, I just got to keep maximizing this shit till it's full potential and just keep going over and over. And at that point, you know that if it is moving around locally, that, okay, maybe I could start pushing this a little bit further. And that's, once again, it doesn't. He doesn't look at that record and go, ah, maybe I should just do some like, it's like soul or like some fucking neo electronic, some shit. He's like, nah, this is what I need to do. This is what I'm going to focus on. This is what I'm going to put money behind. And I'm going to push that shit. And now we know Fetty Wap to be what he was.
And even better than that, just understanding, like, I don't think Trap Queen was the type of music that Fetty Wap makes. Like, I don't think that's rather the type of music that he listens to. Because he's on record saying he fucks with Gucci Mane. He's on...
completely different, yep.
Okay, so he understood that I'm making this singing style of music that my immediate surroundings in the hood of Patterson, it's a rough area. My immediate surroundings aren't into me singing love songs. They're probably not going to be too interested in this style of music.
Mm-hmm.
But then he starts to see what it starts doing, and it's being played at all these different parties, and it works, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say that when Fetty Wap tried to make the Gucci Mane style records, they didn't work.
Yeah, because once again, he had to be making music beforehand, yeah.
You feel me? Like, that style of record doesn't work for him. But when he started singing on records, it does work. Why is that? Because that's the style of record that worked personally for him. And that's what made him different, is that he was singing in a certain style that only worked for him.
And helped birth a whole lot of other artists to start doing the same exact thing. Because
then you start getting like PNB Rocks, Rest in Peace. Mm-hmm. You start getting a bunch of different people that make that same style of music, and it works because Fetty Wap started doing that. You know what I mean? So like, I would just say, if you're out there making music, whatever makes you comfortable, make sure it's true to you. Make sure it makes you feel good. Make sure it's something that you could perform year round and you wouldn't feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that matter. And trust me, like having, because me and Bales talk about it all the time, going to a show that you're putting on and seeing a crowd full of people that you don't actually be around doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But to see a crowd full of people that you're like, yeah, I would get a drink with all these people, that feels good. That only comes when you're making truthful music. That's you. That only comes when you're making the style. And maybe you want to fit in with the crowd that the mass is like. So you're trying to become that. That's also fine. If that's the crowd that you want to fit in with, if you feel like I'd be more comfortable making that style of music, then do it. You know what I mean? But make sure it's something that's comfortable for you.
Yep.
All right.
I ain't got nothing else on that. But honestly, change what you're viewing on social media and pay attention to what you are following and how you're letting that affect how you maneuver throughout your artistry as well.
Yep. All right, guys. Rapper's Guide Podcast. We are signing out. This is Diggy Metro.
Bales Pagliacci.
Peace out, guys.